This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And good morning to you once again. I'm John Lieberman filling in for Brian. Great to be here with the team. Morgan, Matt, and I, and Bob and Mark, we're all here for you this morning on a Friday morning. And I want to bring in somebody who is very well known in the cybersecurity space. He just wrote a book recently, Hunting Cyber Criminals. His name is Vinny Troia. And Vinny, I want to start with this, with the government shutdown impacting cybersecurity agencies like Homeland Security. What vulnerabilities, in your opinion, is this creating for critical infrastructure and business in Connecticut and beyond?
I don't know about just Connecticut, but in terms of critical infrastructure, and thank you for having me, by the way. So in terms of critical infrastructure, I mean, there's always going to be when you have a gap in personnel, especially when you have people sort of manning the clock, 24/7, it's looking for new vulnerabilities or, sort of keeping on top of, any exploits and things like that. I mean, there's always going to create, you're going to create gaps. And so this, the shutdown is, it's starting to hurt, I'll be honest.
Yeah. So your book, Hunting Cyber Criminals, focuses on tracking down hackers. So you alluded to this, but how are cyber criminals potentially exploiting, the current government chaos, reduced oversight, et cetera?
I don't know that, there's two groups of hackers, the way I look at it. You've got the kids who are, you hear about them all the time with, all these big hacks in the news, and they're, they're looking for the notoriety and they're looking for the publicity. And most of those guys come from, honestly, like UK, US, or Canada. And it's the guys who are the government are worried about are more of like the Chinese and the Russian, the nation state guys. And that's sort of a different ball game. Right. But I think with, certainly with having, a lack of personnel at this point, and even with some of the cuts we've seen in the administration, I mean, it's becoming harder to really maintain a solid security posture.
So from a cybersecurity perspective, what keeps you up at night? Like what do you think about and what can be done about it?
So what I'm personally really focused on is just collecting data. And so Hunting Cyber Criminals was actually my first book. I got a new one that just came out a couple of weeks ago called Gray Area. And it's all about kind of leveraging hacked, breached, and leaked data for national security purposes. And so what I like to do is I try to find and collect as much hacked data as I can, because there's certainly a lot of value to it, to government and to, corporate entities, right? It's not just, you hear about all these giant hacks all the time, but there's a lot of value all of a sudden when you start looking at, travel records, in or out of Russia, or, Uber records for, Iranian nationals. It's just, there's a lot that can be found there.
So what do you do with that hacked data? Like, what are the uses that you, what do you use it for?
I mean, me personally, I don't use it for anything anymore. I just kind of facilitate getting it to the right people, and what they use it for, I don't know. I don't want to know. It's all kind of, it's beyond my level. Right. But I know that there's a need for the data. And when you're, I think, if you're either hunting for cyber criminals or if you're looking for specific targets and countries, I think the data becomes really useful in establishing sort of pattern of life. So, you can even look at stuff like food delivery, for example, who's getting food delivered, how often, what times of days. And so you can start to sort of figure out where the person's going to be around certain times. And that can be very useful depending on the scenario.
You've tracked, I know, major hacking groups, like the Dark Overlord. What are some of your takeaways from the groups that you've tracked over the years?
So one of the bigger ones was actually last year, and there wasn't really a group name associated with it. I guess maybe Scattered Spider, but the kid ended up getting into a number of Snowflake instances. And from that, you know, there was a giant AT&T hack, which everybody heard about last year, which was, you know, the only breach in history that was delayed for national security reasons because everybody's like text messages and call logs were stolen. And so the way they got into that was, it was so simple. They just had people's passwords and there was no two-factor authentication set up. And so they were able to get in, and the same way they were able to get into like 160 other companies. It was just looking up reused passwords. And so the biggest takeaway, and it sounds kind of redundant, but just don't reuse your passwords and set up some sort of...
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Two-factor authentication.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, Vinny, because so many people just get annoyed by all of the 2FA, and then you got to go to your, you know, authentication app and this and that, and people are just annoyed. Not that you have an answer to this, but how do you think we overcome sort of that annoyance factor so that people actually take notice and secure their accounts? Because, you know, so many people are just annoyed by all of the steps it takes to either log into your email or log into your work system or, you know, just do your day-to-day tasks. What does it take to get through to these people that this is a major, major issue with potentially major, major ramifications?
I think it's meant to be annoying on purpose, and it kind of stinks to say that, because like I get even if I have to log into my Gmail, then I got to go find my phone, and then I got to put in the code that's on my phone to match the browser. It drives me nuts. But the point is, it's meant to be that way for a reason, right? And you got to look at it from the perspective of, okay, well, I'd rather go through this for a few seconds than having all the money out of my accounts wiped and having to deal with going through the banks for that. And so for me, like, I don't mind taking the few extra steps, and I actually keep all my stuff in a password manager. I love 1Password. It's super simple. So it just stores all my codes and stores everything for me. But, it's one of those things you just got to get used to.
And what do you hope your readers take away from your latest book? What are some of the key takeaways?
I think it's, number one, I wrote it because it was just an interesting story. A lot of it had to do with kind of the hacks from last year. And so how kind of I was able to uncover that and figure out everything that was happening. And so I think part of it is it's an interesting story. But, you know, the other part is you hear about kind of breach data all the time. And obviously it's a problem when people's information kind of gets stolen, but there's a flip side to this, to all of that information does have sort of another edge where it can be used for good. So, you know, I'm not saying it's like a silver lining, but it kind of is. In the meantime, I mean, it's good that we're at least able to use that information for some purposes, even though it's, you know, again, primarily still being used for fraud and things like that, which obviously is bad, but at least we get something out of it.
And are you self-taught in terms of, did you teach yourself kind of how to find this information, infiltrate it? Talk about that.
So I got started like super young. My dad brought home a computer when I was like 12, and I just sat down and started messing around, and I just taught myself stuff. And that was kind of it for me. I started hacking at a really young age, back when we were using like dial-up. It just kind of took off for me, right? I stuck with it and I got really good at it. And that's literally kind of been what I've been doing my whole life. I mean, I've just kind of been in front of a computer.
We live in now what's quickly becoming kind of an AI society. How does AI play into hacks, and, you know, does it make it easier for hackers? Does it make it harder? Does it have no impact? I'm just curious, with more and more AI tools out there, what impact that might have.
I think it's definitely to some extent making things easier. Like, and I'll give you an example. Like, I use AI constantly. I've gotten to a point where it's easily saving me 3-4 hours a day. It's just like mundane tasks that I don't want to do. Just really repetitive stuff. You can just feed it into ChatGPT and it'll just do the work for you. And it's amazing. And so from that perspective, like, it's not great at writing code. So I don't think it would be great at hacking websites yet, but I mean, I don't think it's far off. But the thing is, I think it's also providing, almost like easy documentation to people wanting to learn how to do stuff. And it's really, I think to some extent it is making things easier on them, because they can just go and find the information much faster. And at the very least, they could maybe have some level of code written for them. The doors are opening, but at the same time, we could also be using, and I know we are using AI to try and block a lot of things at a much faster rate than maybe we were before.
Vinny, how can people keep up with you, your latest book, and all the rest?
If you want to check out vinnytroia.com, that'd be cool. My book's available on Amazon. You can always reach out. I'm around.
He is Vinny Troia, cybersecurity expert, author, hacker. Thank you, Vinny.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.